The International Bible Lesson, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Hear now the word of the Lord from the English Standard Version, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. May the Lord bless this reading of his holy word. International Bible Lessons Commentary, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, English Standard Version. Questions for discussion and thinking further follow the verse-by-verse International Bible Lesson Commentary. Study hints for discussion and thinking further will help with class preparation and in conducting class discussion. These hints are available on the International Bible Lesson Commentary website, along with the International Bible Lesson that you may want to read to your class as part of your Bible study. You can discuss each week's commentary and lesson at the International Bible Lesson Forum. Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Christians use their bodies in the service of God, to do what God has commanded in the Bible, which involves making daily decisions to will the will of God, moment by moment. Sacrifices involve cost. There will be some cost when we use our bodies, our time, and our talents in the service of God. We have received many mercies from God, and in the light of the mercies we have received from God, most importantly our salvation, our sacrificial service expresses our love for and thanks to God. Christians do not put themselves first and try to make God serve them. Rather, they give of themselves and use their God-given gifts to fulfill God's purposes. True Christian worship includes living holy and pleasing to God 7 days a week. Inspired by the love and sacrificial example of Jesus Christ, holy living for Christians involves loving God and others as Jesus commanded. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The pattern of this world becomes more and more obvious from watching and listening to what the media has to offer over the internet, movies, television, including news reports, and music. Many people aspire to live according to the pattern that the media in this world promotes in many ways. Christians strive to avoid living according to the patterns of this world, the patterns that this world sets. And churches especially guard against letting this world set their moral and spiritual agendas. Paul wrote that the followers of Jesus Christ need to renew their minds and to be transformed in order to overcome the world's influences, which will include the prayerful resolve not to live according to this world's patterns. Worshiping the true God in acceptable ways, daily Bible study, prayerful obedience to God, and a commitment to live holy and pleasing to God in everyday situations will renew our minds and transform us day by day. With renewed minds, when those of this world present their ideas and ways of thinking to believers, believers will be able to use their knowledge of God in Jesus Christ that they have learned from the Bible to test the appropriateness of what they are hearing and sometimes seeing in this world. Furthermore, God may test us to help us learn what is acceptable biblical behavior. The Bible reveals God's mind, and the Bible is the infallible objective standard by which believers can test what is true and false, right and wrong. The Bible can be used when we test for deadly spiritual and worldly diseases, which can sometimes lead to deadly physical diseases and spiritual death. As they prayerfully study the Bible and request the help of the Holy Spirit, Christians can know and approve the will of God in every situation with the confidence that God's will is always good, pleasing, and perfect for God, others, and themselves. Everything God does, and everything God asks us to do, is always good, acceptable, and perfect. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. When Paul wrote this verse, he may have been thinking of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Christians face the danger of thinking they are better or more important than those who are not Christians, or of thinking they are better than someone else because they do not practice the sins some other Christians struggle to overcome as they trust in the Lord Jesus to save them from their sins. All Christians need to remember that they are saved by the grace of God through faith. Therefore, no Christian can claim superiority over another Christian. With sober judgment, Christians need to examine themselves and pray for the Lord to help them live pleasing to God. They need to ask the Holy Spirit to help them discover and turn from any sins they may have been practicing unawares. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul wrote, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you indeed fail to meet the test." The Lord Jesus has given every Christian the faith they need to serve Him and achieve His purposes. And Christians will serve the Lord in a variety of different ways. Therefore, Christians should not think more or less of themselves as they serve the Lord with the gifts He has given them. Romans 12:4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Just as our human bodies have many parts, so Christians are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, the Church. And the Church has many different functions that need to be carried out by the different members in the Church. Every body part has been created by God to bless the whole body, and each body part has an important function to perform. So, in the Church, everyone is important, and everyone has a role to fulfill in the Church. No body part is to consider itself more important than any other body part. Christians pray for the Lord to show them their function, and for the gifts and the spiritual and physical power to fulfill that function. Romans 12:5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Jesus Christ is not divided, with one part of him here and another part of him there, with many disconnected parts spread everywhere. Christ has one body, the Church. Wherever Christians live around the world, they are connected and part of the one body of Jesus Christ. Since they are connected to Christ, they are connected to each other. Since individual Christians are part of the one body of Christ, what they do or fail to do has an effect on the body of Christ, the Church. Just as the hand, foot, and eye are connected to help us see where we are going to help someone, each individual member of the body of Christ around the world can bless other members or parts of the Church. The Holy Spirit guides and empowers individual Christians to do their part in the body of Christ. Romans 12:6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Every Christian has received God's grace and gifts. Therefore, they live daily in and by the grace of God. The grace of God enables Christians to do the will of God and rightly use the gifts of God, the gifts God has given them. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible commands us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we use God's gifts, we pray to God for His grace to use His gifts more effectively for Him and others. We sometimes need greater courage to use our God-given gifts. So, from the Gospels, we learn to ask Jesus to increase our faith. See Luke chapter 17, verse 5. We may think the gift of prophecy is more important than the gift of exhortation. We may think a person with the gift of prophecy is more important than a person with the gift of exhortation. But God thinks about where His various gifts are needed in the Church. Then, God puts the people of His choice in these places with these gifts. God's gifts are not just for professional clergy, but for all who follow Jesus Christ. No Christian is more important than any other Christian. The faith we have as individual Christians help us know and do the will of God when using our gifts. The gift of prophecy can include foretelling the future or predicting the future based on a revelation from God that is consistent with what the Bible teaches. The gift of prophecy can also include predicting the future based on a Holy Spirit-inspired interpretation of the Bible and what will happen if certain commands of Christ are obeyed or not obeyed by an individual or nation. For example, Christians can foresee or predict the future when they look at the world around them and compare what they see to what they read in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 32. The gift of prophecy has been interpreted to mean preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Romans 12, 7. If service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching. Some interpret service to mean the responsibility, the role, or the office of deacons in the church. The gift of service is more than an office in the church and is given to all Christians. Service can include seeing someone in need and doing what can prayerfully and wisely be said and done to help that person. Service can include praying for missionaries and the persecuted church around the world. Some seem to have the gift of service with a Holy Spirit-inspired perception that makes them seem remarkable in seeing and meeting the needs of others. Others manifest this gift when they seem to be the first to volunteer whenever they learn something needs to be done. The gift and office of teacher also exists in the church. The gift of teaching includes explaining and applying the Bible's teachings while prayerfully trying to serve as a Christian example for others to follow. The gift of teaching includes affirming and reinforcing people's faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the Bible, the Word of Christ written. Some may excel in teaching more than others, but to some extent all Christians have a gift of teaching, for every Christian can be a living example of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible gives this command to all Christians. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. The defense of our Christian faith involves teaching. Romans 12, 8. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. At one time, some churches used to give, and perhaps some churches still give, an exhorter's license, an official certificate to those qualified. You can search on the internet for interesting images of exhorter's licenses. Traditionally, an official exhorter in the church exhorted, urged, and encouraged those in the congregation to do what the Bible taught after a minister or evangelist preached. The exhorter's license was sometimes given and considered the same as a minister's license to preach the gospel and perform the ordinances of the church, such as baptize, preside at the Lord's Supper, and conduct marriages. God has particularly gifted some in the church, even if they are not professionals, with the ability to encourage others in a variety of ways, not just after a sermon or Bible lesson, and urge people to follow Christ and the Bible's teachings, especially if they need help to overcome a sin. Though they do not seek to let their left hand know what their right hand is doing, some in the church are noted for contributing generously to various church causes and helping the needy. See Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. The Holy Spirit gifted them with a variety of resources and the motivation to give generously in a variety of ways. With the help and inspiration of God, some of the poorest in the church have also been some of the most sacrificial and generous givers. In summary, the enthusiastic leadership and service of some in the church is the gift of God's grace for the benefit of the church. The interest in and intention to cheerfully perform acts of mercy are also a gift of God's grace. All these gifts are important, and every member of the church has gifts from God to share in and through the church. Questions for discussion and thinking further. 1. As Christians, what and how should we sacrifice to God? 2. As Christians, how can we be transformed? 3. What would happen if everyone in the church had the same function? 4. How should Christians think about themselves? 5. In the church, why do members have different gifts? International Bible Lesson, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. True Spiritual Worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Worship involves more than spending 1 hour per week with other believers in the church. Worship includes our whole way of life throughout the week. What difference would it make to us and the world if everyone heeded Paul's appeal to worship God spiritually every day? What is true spiritual worship? Spiritual worship includes thanking God throughout the day for His multiple mercies toward us. Think what each day would be like if God never showed us any mercy throughout the day. How many accidents and troubles have God's mercies saved us and others from day by day? Primarily, God showed His mercy and love when He sent Jesus to save us from our sins while we were still sinners. See Romans chapter 5, verse 8. In response to God's manifold mercies toward us, Paul appeals to us to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, whole burnt offerings were sometimes offered. In the New Testament, our spiritual worship involves offering our whole selves alive to God and dedicating the use of our bodies to God's service, to truly loving God and others as the Bible teaches. As God commanded the Jews to offer their best animals in sacrifice, so God commands the followers of Jesus to offer the very best of themselves when they serve God and others. When we set ourselves apart to live holy for God, whatever we do each day can become a holy sacrifice to God. When we live according to the Bible's teachings, our whole lives become acceptable spiritual worship to God. Copyright 2019 by L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Permission granted for not-for-profit use.